In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
Hello, friends, and welcome to an unexpected podcast. I'm Az.
And I'm Lane.
and we're talking Tolkien.
Yeah, we are. We're giving you a moment, Middle Earth here. This is Lane, obviously.
That
Wyatt burp is Ezra Kirk. Pretty amazing. Guy says he can't do voice acting.
Can't.
He's a liar. He's
tried a German accent three times.
Bald faced liar, dude. It sounded great. You just laughed. It was amazing.
Welcome to. I can't continue it because then I.
Yeah.
Well, I'll switch into British, and I'll be back to Australian, and it's like, what's going on?
I think you had
like,
it. I think sometimes you're afraid to shine. But that's what I'm here for. I'll make you.
We just talked about shining, unclad shining last episode.
Yes, we did. Oh. Jeez, dude, when the story and life just intersect. So I have a moment of Middle Earth, I have a moment in Middle Earth to share. I think this is my first one, isn't it? This is my first one.
Yeah.
And yes, of course, guys, it's from the movies because I've never read the books and I don't know how to, I don't read. Okay. So sue me. So this moment we're going to watch and you guys will listen to, but we'll have a video component that you could probably check out.
Absolutely.
If not, you have the movies. Anyway, I'm an idiot. This is a scene that, it's a very short snippet of a scene. Most of the time we focus on what came before and what came after, cause it's surrounded by action. But this moment has always struck me, and fittingly enough, it's between Gandalf and Aragorn, our two favorite characters, and it's only 13 seconds long. But to me, there's so much packed in here. There's so much packed in it. So maybe we can just play it, and then I'll kind of tell you sort of my takeaways and how this hit me, and then I would love to get your response to this. Is that cool?
Yeah.
So this is in the Fellowship of the Ring. We are in between the Fellowship fighting off the Moria orcs and the troll fleeing to be surrounded by more, and then this great rumbling and the Balrog revealing himself. Gandalf closes his eyes and says, "This is a Balrog, a demon of the ancient world. This foe is beyond any of you. Run!" And they start running away. Okay, and we're going to get right as they're getting to the stairs. Boromir almost falls, and then we get this little snippet. So take it away.
All right, here we go.
Lead them on, Aragorn. The bridge is near.
Use your sword.
Is that it?
Oh, keep going. Sorry, until he's done with the line.
Okay.
Hold on, no more use here.
There, right there.
Open the bridge.
Done. Fire. Yeah. So it's very short. It's a tiny little snippet.
Can I play it again? Let me play it one more time.
Yeah, please do. Yeah, please do. Yeah.
Could you hear it?
Yeah, I can hear you. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Here we go.
Lead them on, Aragorn. The bridge is near.
Use our sword.
Swords are no more use here.
Right there. Yeah. Okay. So this scene has always hit me, or this little clip. It's not even a scene. I guess it is. It's a moment between two characters where dialogue is shared and stuff happens. But like, it has always hit me, and the older I get, the more I think like, God, this is so beautiful. So you open the scene, and you've got, this is where the visual aspect you really have to watch and like slow it down, and like Ez did, play it several times. He's like, Gandalf's coming down the stairs last. Right, he just did battle. He kicked a butt, in Moria. He also had the distress of, like, you know, Pippin awakening all these orcs. So that was like at his full of a toque. He's got all this weight on him. Then afterwards, he literally is standing there and he can feel the presence. We talked about this last a moment in Middle Earth, feeling the presence of darkness. He knows without seeing what this is, what this is. He knows this is a Balrog. And he knows what that means. He knows what that means. We don't, as a movie audience, yet know what that means. And even until we go read the stories, we don't know the level of being that this is a creature, a spirit on the same level as Gandalf, right?
Yeah.
This is a big boy. This is a big boy. This is an elf killer. This is like he says, a demon of the ancient world. Like a nuke, like a secret weapon that can sway the fate of entire armies and battles. So he has that realization, and then they're all running, and he makes sure, I love the scene also right before that clip right before where he's making sure everyone's ahead of him. And he kind of stops for a moment and looks back, and he has this moment of pause, and then he continues on. And then we cut away to the Fellowship, like Boromir almost falls, Legolas catches him, it's great, everyone stops and they're looking, they're all looking forward, right? Except for Aragorn. He knows that, I love their dynamic, especially in the movies, of just like the mutual love and respect they have for each other. And I have to think, like, part of it is because Aragorn is someone who's always believed in Aragorn. Gandalf is someone who's always believed in Aragorn, no matter what. Like, and there's been a lot of haters, a lot of doubters. We see it all the time. We see it in the movies. We see it with Boromir, the resentment. And him being, you know, just this lowly, unkempt character. And so anyway, I think this really shines through. He goes up to him, and Gandalf is like struggling to get down the steps.
Right.
He's struggling to get down the steps. And we know after the fact, it's because he knows what's coming. Right. He knows what he just had to do, and he knows what he's going to have to do next. Mm-hmm. And there's not just a physical weight on like his old man body, but on the guys that he takes, but there's this other weight that we can't even understand, right? Mm-hmm. And so Aragorn puts his hand on his shoulder and says, "Gandalf, Gandalf," and Gandalf, of course, looking forward, you can see the bridge, and he says, "The bridge is near, Aragorn. Lead them on." And he's not just talking about getting them to the bridge. He's talking about what's going to happen after the bridge.
He already knows. He knows. Oh my God.
He knows. And this is literally the passing of the torch from, I've been leading this fellowship, to, it's you, man. It's you. In this film version of you, you've always doubted yourself. You've always felt like you know, you're just a humble man, and you have this greater calling, whether you want it or not. And he says, lead them on. And then we have this crazy moment, right? Because, again, in the film, we don't totally understand this could be like a 6-foot fire demon, or it could be what it actually is. We don't know. We haven't seen it yet. We have a great rumbling, like it's getting closer, the light's getting brighter. And Aragorn, his reaction, his instinct is to spring into battle and go take on this absolute monster.
Right, right.
And he probably knows. He's got some knowledge, quite a bit of knowledge. Even the film version of Aragorn, he would know what that means.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
He knows those old tales. He knows how if you face a Balrog, you die. Like, you're going to die. You might take it with you, but you're definitely not. You might have to be like brought back, but you're not going to survive it. Like, especially as a mortal man, even being a Dunedain, you know, of Numenorean descent, the special human that he is. But like, I think about how beautiful, like, he's, and part of it is because, like, he sees this reaction from Aragorn, or from, Jesus, what is my problem? Sees this reaction from Gandalf, but also from the whole, like, knowing the whole fellowship is in peril. His instinct is to spring in head on without any regard for himself and defend the fellowship. And then we see Gandalf put his hand, grab him, throw him back. Like, you thought I was an old man weak? I don't think so, son. Did you not hear what I said?
Yeah,
do as I say. Swords are no more use here. And then with a renewed energy and passion, he takes off. And I think the bigger thing too there, right? First of all, it's an incredible dynamic to have. And I also love the quick cut we get of Aragorn being thrown back, and he's like confused. He's like, what?
Yeah.
What is the, like, yep. A, I just thought you were about to fall over and keel over. B, like, what? I'm a warrior. And right. I just love the message, right? Like, to me, I watch this and I think, you know what? Sometimes the brave thing is to run away.
Yeah.
Or maybe in a different way of thinking of it, sometimes like there's bravery and there's wisdom, and they don't always go together. Like, you can be brave and you can be foolish,
mm-hmm.
or you can, you know, appear to be a coward and actually be wise. And what he's doing here is also saying, like, this isn't your battle. This isn't your fight.
Yeah.
Right. Swords are no more use here, which also implies too, that he's about to do battle beyond hand to hand. Right. I mean, there's so much in this moment. This is like a moment that you could close your eyes and miss. And there's so much. I think about like when they would have filmed this, what the direction would have been, how many takes they would have done, how fun it would be to be Ian McKellen or Viggo Mortensen to be in this scene together and to like play off of each other and to have this story context and know what this means. And I don't know, for whatever reason, the moments after and the moments before, the older I get especially, never hit as hard as this little tiny clip. And just especially when you zoom in on it and you look at it, there's so many things. It tells ancient history. It tells it projects to the future.
Yep.
It shows nuances between their relationship. Like, Gandalf's not talking to anyone else like that. Maybe Pippin. He's not talking to anyone else like that in the Fellowship. And likewise, I don't know, that like tenderness that Aragorn shows, he only ever would show, I think, to the hobbits, where he's kind of saying, Gandalf, you know, are you okay? Like, is everything all right? And just that switch that Gandalf goes through from feeling feeble and defeated and done to, and I think it was also too, I almost kind of think it was a bit of a test where he's like, you know, lead them on, the bridge is near. That's what I told you. Right. And instead you're coming up here doing the exact opposite of what I told you to do. Think about them. I'll take care. And it's just like no, you know, I meant it, you know, like, do what I'm actually saying. Don't try to be a hero here, actually, or be a hero in a way that you're not thinking of necessarily.
Yeah, exactly.
So
yeah, a different way. Yeah.
Yeah.
Buddy, let me tell you something. You know, when you think about like why these books are so successful and why this is one of the greatest moments ever in any literature, like fiction, like fantasy lit. This is, it just set the bar so freaking high.
Yeah.
Because inside of here, you have, like you said, moments before this and going to the book, he speaks a word of command.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes, he does.
And he doesn't expect it to be broken.
Mm-hmm.
And he, is there's something lights in like a fear. It's okay to be afraid. I mean, it's for Gandalf, it was sort of like, this is it. This is it. And as they move down the halls in the book, you're like, oh my God. And then when they identify each other, because you've seen this on Reddit, you've seen this on different forums, and I know you guys have heard this. They know there comes a point in time, like we were talking about the shadow in Holland last episode, and where you could just couldn't see it, but you could feel it. Once they do battle in magic, right? And that when they're up in the chamber, they know there's a presence that this is stronger than I thought. And then also that was not easy to get through. There is something else here. And so as it progresses, like you said, this build up to, like, once they start, you know, Gandalf declares, right, all like he literally, I mean, talks smack to the Balrog, right? And he identifies, knows who he is, calls him what he is, says who he is, references the secret fire and flame. It's, he knows. And so I just think it is, I've always believed this, and I could be wrong and people can correct me, but he was sent to Middle Earth in a guise. He comes in as as you said, you like when he throws Aragorn back and he doesn't expect that strength. He's calling upon strength that he's never, because This is a time where he is allowed, like, everyone forgets that
unfurled. Yeah.
That he, that they are shrouded in this, like, they take on the, these, they've been old men since they arrived. Yeah. That was the whole point. They're guides by the sides. They're wizards. Mm-hmm. They are not completely unleashing their power. They're not. Mm-hmm. They're not allowed to do that. Otherwise, this would just be a war that the Valar and Maiar would come and they would just, this is not their, they're supposed to be guides by the side. And what is he doing to Aragorn, as you mentioned in that moment? Yeah. Yeah. He, even in that moment, even though he still doesn't fully uncloak in a sense, he doesn't completely go to that level. He actually, I believe, is reduced in his power and still takes this Balrog on, even though, like, they're everyone talks about, like, them being equally matched, Maiar sort of spirits and on that same, but he was still hampered by his physical form, and he could not. I mean, the Balrog has no, there's no rules on him. There's no rules saying, hey, you need to suppress some of your power, that you have to guide men, that you have a fellowship behind you, that you have to press Aragorn on and lead. I mean, dude, that moment is absolutely the best moment in Lord of the Rings and in any fantasy series ever. Mm-hmm. It really is. One of the to lose Gandalf, and he knows. He also, like you said, he sees the bridge and he knows. Remember when we did that moment in Middle Earth when they're sitting outside of Moria and he seems to speak of his own death? He knows that he is skirting very close to something that he hoped he would never have to face. And he is going to have to use every bit of power that he is allowed to use in Middle Earth to take this demon down.
Yeah, and it's, doesn't he even use the phrase test, right? It's a test.
Yeah.
It's not like a guarantee. It doesn't mean, like, you take a test, you could fail it, you could pass it, you could, and you know, at C, you could get a C. You could get a 0%. Like, there's such an array of, because it's performance-based. Like, a test depends on how you perform, how you react, did you study, all these different things. And so, this is his great test. And so, I mean, think about how nervous you get before a test. You know what I'm saying? It's like he would have that kind of, you're right. And then I think also, too, I think he, maybe he'd be strengthened, maybe he'd be hampered by the knowledge that, like, the ring is right there. The ring is right there. And a servant of the Dark Lord, probably even more of a Dark Lord, like truly a servant of Morgoth, of the ultimate evil, is, and one of his equals is right there, and it, like, he stands between them. He is the bridge.
Yeah,
you know, and it's unbelievable. But I just thought, like, this moment does a good job of encapsulating all of those things too. I mean, it's like,
it's like you did. I never thought about that. The ring is right there.
Mm-hmm.
If he wanted to take the one ring,
Dude,
this was the moment. This was the moment. If you ever needed the one ring, this right here.
Oh, I didn't
even
think about that. Gandalf's temptation. Oh my God, I was thinking about the Balrog, like, just claiming it.
Well,
but
that too.
Yeah,
that's
dude.
Another.
But no, like, but that's way, way deeper. Because he talks about that all the time, about, like, if I took it, you wouldn't recognize me.
No, right.
I'd be lost. And I could want to wield it for good, but it wouldn't happen that way, like, ultimately.
He could have survived. Gosh. He could have called upon, he said, Frodo, give it to me.
Would have been easy. He could have easily struck down the Balrog.
Hand me the one ring now.
Oh, my God, bro.
And dude, I was just, he chose not to do that. That's never even said on the page, but we all know it's true. Yes, he turned him down in the Shire and he passed that test there, but he passes it every daggone day that he's facing these evils, and especially in that moment when he was facing death. So,
dude, can you also imagine if that would have happened, Boromir would have been like, dang, boy.
Oh, boy. I know, man.
He'd been behind the bushes, rubbing his hand, licking his lips, being like, I'm next.
Let me get some of that,
we can
that
use
ring
this thing
juice.
Now? All right. Give me that ring juice.
Dang. Dude, it's just like he literally says, I am a servant of the secret fire.
Secret fire. Yeah. I love how do you like this? Do you like how that kind of stuff happens earlier in the books as opposed to on the bridge? Or do you think, like, that works best for the books, and then the stuff how it happens on the bridge works best for the movies? They're kind of mutually good. Mm-hmm. Even though they're different, because I think it's that way. I mean, they could have cut all that dialogue out, but the fact that they brought it to the climax,
I'm fine with it. I think
placed it there.
I mean, it's a profound moment, and they use the time that they had, you know, because you don't get all those little nuances leading down the stairs and all the different things that were kind of back and forth and the speaking a word of command and everything. So it's cool to bring it to that moment. I think it's fine. And it's like, it's, in my mind, that's just how it happened, actually, because it's so good. It's so well executed by Peter Jackson. But dude, he is just defying him. And I'm telling you, it is. I think what you were hammering home too is that it's Aragorn. He is telling him he's never done it. He's been around Gandalf for many years. He knows him. For example, when I love in The Hobbit when they start asking Gandalf, like, you know, I'm sure Gandalf in your day have killed many a dragon, right?
Yeah.
And he starts to kind of like
seeing this tonight. Yeah.
It's hilarious. It's hilarious. Yeah. And you're like, well, as you think about it, you're like, Gandalf, that's not his role. He's not there to actually slay dragons and do those different things. And so it's not that he couldn't. It's just like, guys, that's not what I'm here for. Yeah. And again, think about like what he could have done. Like he could have just, could he not have gone after Smaug? Could he not have done different things? There are things that he could have done, right?
Yeah.
And it's so crazy because this is all coming to the climax of like, you have the One Ring. He knows the One Ring is, like you were saying, is it within the reach of a Balrog? So there is no way.
Yeah.
The quest has never been that we've never been that close to so much danger with such a powerful object. And it literally took Gandalf doing what he did and just like standing his ground. And I mean, just to speak, you cannot pass.
Then you have that dude. And then you have that moral dilemma. You think like if there were two choices of Gandalf using the ring or it being lost to the Balrog. What happens? I mean, like, what? I don't know. I don't even want to.
Well, you know.
So, yeah.
That's a whole different thing. It's very interesting, actually. I was thinking about doing more of these later on and talking to you about things like this. For example, when Sauron is defeated with the One Ring, let's say by Ar-Pharazôn, he has the ring. He has the One Ring, you know, it's like, so he then goes back to Numenor and has the One Ring is working his deception to bring them down. Did he, you know, also a part of his plan? So he loses the ring. It doesn't make him all powerful. They actually beat him. They actually do beat Sauron with the ring. So there is that last, that's sort of their last chance because they had all the forces that they needed and they literally went to town, right? And then Isildur gets it. And it didn't, like, he didn't rule the world. He didn't go, I mean, who knows? It only played on him for 2 years. But, like, I do sometimes wonder if Galadriel and Gandalf had it, what would it have done? It's not a complete guarantee that it's an all-powerful thing and you are now ruler of Middle Earth. But I think that's why there was so much temptation because if it is just take it and you're the ruler instantly and all is done, it's like whatever. I mean, you have a ring bearer right now. Bilbo wore it all the freaking time, you know. So I think they're resilient to its power and its potency. But thinking about, you know, what I was talking to somebody earlier, I think it was I'm not sure if, which of the Stevens it was. We had two Stevens on the Instagram live there, but I was talking about Boromir, and it wasn't even them, it was somebody else who was mentioning Boromir, and we were talking about his decision a little bit to want to take the ring. It's a good why not take the ring and why not use it, you know? It's actually when you think about like what he wanted to do with it, it's not all bad.
No, it's not a terrible plan.
It's not it's like the, and then you know, he's like, we'll put it down, right? Or something. We'll use it against him. And it's not, you understand why he says it. You get it. And So it's very interesting to think about what would have happened if the Balrog would have gotten it. And it, just that, like, what if Gandalf turned and said, Frodo, hand it over. Let me use it. Yep. You know,
I got to use it against him before he uses it against us.
Yeah.
Kind of deal. It's a Middle Earth dilemma. Yeah,
it's crazy because there are so many other magical, powerful items in Middle Earth. It's why it's so cool. It's a chess match. It's not checkers, right? You know, Tolkien is really is really he was careful. I think about how he wrote this and how he did powers and how he, you know, how he controlled the wizard's power and how he had this whole backstory for the Istari and everything and why they couldn't be all powerful and it's just really, really, really good.
I do love in this scene too. Like, I love that lunge by Aragorn. I mean, for me, like, that to me is like, if you had to sum, especially Viggo Mortensen's Aragorn, up to one moment, one frame or a few frames, it's that right there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm going to go to hell with what happens to me. I don't care. I'm going to go at least delay so everyone else can get away. Maybe that's all he was thinking too. I'm
in his mind,
buy some time. Yeah.
Because he needs Gandalf. He probably thinks Gandalf needs to lead them.
Yes.
Not me.
Right.
And he's you know, we don't.
I just think it's beautiful. Yeah. Like, knowing full well what it means, just the willingness to go.
How about putting yourself, how about everyone put yourself in Gandalf's shoes for just a moment and imagine that you know what Gandalf knows and you know you're the only one who can speak to Aragorn or Boromir or Legolas or anybody. Mm-hmm. You know it's you. You know it's got to be you. And you know that for a fact. And there is literally no one else who can do it. And you have to say something. You have to step up. And so it's how much confidence, how much courage, bravery, wisdom, foresight, everything that Gandalf had to have in that moment. It was everything, dude. And so it all comes down to that. And the craziest thing, I think, for me, is like Gandalf, at that point in time, that realization comes to him. He knows he has to act. And he also knows that when I make this step, it will be my last here. I will have fulfilled my sort of mission as Gandalf the Grey in Middle Earth. He doesn't know he'll be sent back. He doesn't know what's going to happen. He knows that the friends and the hobbits and the fellowship that he loves has to continue on without him. And he knows it's death for me. And it's also death for that Balrog. And and they are going to go on without me. I mean, that's what he's thinking, dude. He's literally going through all of that, you know, right now. And he's the only one who knows. Because Aragorn also, like you said, wants to lunge at him and go after him. Yeah. But to be the person who knows, it's not you. It's not your time.
Yeah.
It is mine.
Yeah.
And to put him down like that, because you know Aragorn wants to do that. And it's just like, you know that he would, but you know. And that's where I think each and every one of us sort of has those moments sometimes where it's like, I know I need to do it now. I need to step up. And it's just like, oh, the only person who knows that is you. Nobody else knows it except for you. And so you've except got to stand up and you've got to do it's just, it's insane.
Keep going, baby. Keep going.
I love that moment.
Yeah.
I love it. It's why I love Gandalf so much. It's literally why it's just, that's everything. The quest is for him over. I mean, the fellowship is set up. Things are set in motion. He did the best he could. He didn't think it was going to come. He didn't think his time was going to be cut short there.
Yeah, dude. Because he doesn't know. That's a beautiful thought, too. Like, we know he comes back. He doesn't know he'll be sent back.
He doesn't know.
In his mind, that's not even an option. Like, this is, this is his great act.
Right. And he's grown to love these hobbits and care for them. And he's been inspired by them. He's hopeful. He cares for these people.
Yeah. And don't you think like he feels an added weight and sort of almost maybe guilt that it's Frodo that has to bear this burden, like that, that weighs on him as well. And like, it's like, I often think about like, you know, like when I die someday, I think about the kids.
Yeah.
Like growing up.
Yeah.
And like when they die, I won't be able to be there for them.
Yeah. I know.
You know what I'm saying? And like how I don't know what that's going to be like, and I don't know, and how I wish it didn't have to happen.
Yeah.
And how, like, I think to myself how cruel that kind of feels, like that's a reality of life.
Yeah.
Of course, it's not always true, but like odds are.
Yeah, absolutely. It's.
Yeah. But like, that's one of those things too. I think like once you're gone, you can't, I mean, I don't know. I guess I don't really know, but you assume that like, you're not going to be able to influence things in the same way that you would when you're right here in person. But
dude,
that would be an added element for sure.
It's wild. It is literally wild to think about that. And I think there's people who have, you know, you've been in battles or you've been, you know, we battle every day, honestly, good versus evil. I believe in spiritual warfare up and down the land, dude. And so you know, yeah, you when we leave this world, we're leaving our brothers and sisters and we're leaving our loved ones to fight that fight. And we got to have faith and believe that we've made an impact, that we've fought our fight, kept the faith. Right. Jeez, and dude. I mean, dude, it's freaking biblical. That moment with Gandalf is freaking biblical. It's awesome.
Yeah.
I'm so glad you pulled that one out.
Yeah, dude. I mean, I think it's kind of funny how those, like, we didn't know what we each brought a moment to the table tonight, and we didn't know what the other ones were. And they were all very, I mean, they're eerily similar. They're the same kind of, it's like one's right before the other, pretty much the same characters, this great darkness, this, a lot of inexplicable like senses or feelings that people have. And yeah, dude. Yeah. I love this. So I hopefully like people will watch this moment and take some time to rewind it and play it again and play, because it's just, I mean, and then the thing about these movies is they're full of moments like that where you're like, oh my gosh, just that little snippet. It's like there's no like sleepers. There's no boring bits. Like every single, like we watched the Fords of Bruin in tonight with the girls, love watching If You Want Him, Come and Claim Him, and they have to say it too. And those moments too were like just the, like Liv Tyler as Arwen. Oh my God. The only one who does it better is Rebecca Rovney.
You're right.
But like, gosh, like she doesn't get, nobody gets enough credit for what they brought to those movies. Like you see her saying, if you want him, come and claim him. And then they start coming right across and she's looking around at the waters and remembering this spell that she can summon the, and it's just like, I know it didn't happen in the books like that.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean that there's not complete and utter beauty in that scene of like this, she is like embodying this character, man, and doing something like that gives you chills. You're like, oh my gosh. And then to hear her say, what grace has given me, let it pass to him, let him. I don't know. There's all kinds of little one-liners and moments and flashes where you're just like, geez.
Dude,
they had no bad days. There were no bad days.
There were no. It's the greatest trilogy of all time, and it's like,
jeezy cow, it's, dude.
I understand why people would want to try to emulate. Like, I understand why they are fans of it in the other in Amazon land. But I mean, it's like, it's phenomenal, and they did the actors. Yeah. They did such a good job. PJ did such a good job. Yeah, and I could, it's something we watch all the time. I mean, I love watching it over and over. It'll never get old.
Me too.
So,
and even in, it's great because like these moments in Middle Earth that we're doing, you can do that with the movies too. I find I do that more so than watching it all the way through.
Buddy, yeah, I think we should do that more often. I think that actually is a really cool way to do it, because we're blending both. And most people our age, like this is what inspired them to get into Lord of the Rings, flat out.
100%. So, yep. I find myself even more than watching the movies all the way through, I'll go back and I'm like, I really want to see, I got to see this. I feel like I need to see this scene or this half or this portion of the movie. And I will watch it oftentimes and like almost like picking up a book and reading a chapter. Like I'll be like, I really want to see that interaction where Arwen and Aragorn are talking in Elvish and Merry says, what are they saying? Right before they find the Athelas and Pippin turns to Aragorn and with utter sincerity says, is he going to die? Like, dude, it's just,
it's
unreal. It's chock full of those moments where you're just like, this takes my breath away. I felt like that before, and that moment in that movie is a perfect link back to an emotion that I felt or a way I hope to be So it's crazy, dude.
Well, what I think as we close up this, I think that the next time we record, which could be this weekend or next week or whenever, we are going to talk about something that I think one more time where I think PJ and company have a chance to capture a little bit, of those, just to recapture some of those moments. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? I think there's a chance, there's a way forward. Okay. There's news about it. Obviously, we're talking about the hunt for Gollum. And next time I have a whole moment in Middle Earth I want to share with you guys. We're gonna break it down. It's a little bit longer, but we'll read through it, talk about it, because it is definitely something that's been on my mind. And I'm thinking about how do you bring those actors back? How do we capture those moments again? Is there any magic left? Can they do it one more time? Can they capture lightning in a bottle? Wow. And I think that's why the most recent news is they've delayed it a whole year.
A whole year.
So
they got to get the script written too. Last time I heard, they haven't even finished the script. They're still working on it, which to me is a good. That's a good
thing. Take your time. Yes, I would take your freaking time. Like, let's not. We do. I know they're pressed because we want Gandalf, right? But we also it's got to be right. And so get that done. Get that done first. Get those lines to him. Let's go. So yeah, but we'll talk more about that next time. I mean, I'm definitely excited. So, all right, man. Guys, thanks so much. Again, we'll be back. We love you.
To many more moments in Middle Earth.
To many more moments.